Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our Nourishing Lives One Bite at a Time podcast. And today I'm with Allison from Coco, an AI kitchen assistant platform. And I'm Primy. I'm the founder of Stella Eats for special dietary eaters. We're back today with another episode with Dr. Jenny, because we love her so much and we want to learn about her story, what got her started with Kale Health Canada, and really bring that story to enlighten us more why gut is very important these days and to squash the trends, really. And what's more important is health more than ever. So Dr. Jenny, welcome, and welcome, Allison.
Thank you very much. So, Dr. Jenny, let's start with your personal journey. I know that what was the moment that you realized that health is really needed, and how did you come up with the pre-diabetes journey?
Yeah, so thank you for having me on the show. First of all, I'm really excited to be here and chatting with you guys about all things health and blood sugar and nutrition, which is what I'm really passionate about. So a little bit about my background. I'm a Canadian family physician specializing in metabolic health and lifestyle medicine. And back of, I would say this a couple of years ago, kind of during that COVID era, started having some vague symptoms of kind of feeling unwell, some brain fog, not getting good sleep, hormone imbalance, mood swings, cravings, feeling hungry all the time, some skin changes, some kind of joint pain. So kind of all random, seemingly random things under the sun. And it wasn't until I had enough of those symptoms together that I thought, okay, I'll go and get some tests done for my family doctor. Because initially I just chalked it up to being overworked, or working healthcare during that time was quite stressful, as you can imagine. And so I got my labs back and it showed that I was pre-diabetic, which was a complete shock because I was in my early 30s, no family history, thought I was already doing all the right things, eating mostly plant-based whole foods, doing some intermittent fasting, exercising regularly, doing yoga, high intensity exercise, 5-10K runs, half marathons, all these things. What? But my body wasn't working correctly or appropriately, and I felt awful. And so that essentially was my wake-up call to start looking into, okay, what is going on with my blood sugar? And I went back to the primary research, the literature, and read through a bunch of studies, and then created a program for myself that touched on all aspects of my lifestyle, from nutrition to activity to sleep, stress, all these things, to essentially reverse my prediabetes in about 30 days. People are always surprised to hear that because they thought I did something drastic, and it's not anything drastic. I did not change my lifestyle 180 degrees. But it was an accumulation of small changes that I was able to integrate into what I was doing to help me through that. And I leveraged some technology like continuous glucose monitors, gut health testing, to really get me the results and get me feeling good quickly and effectively. And so as a result of that, I launched my company, Kale Health Canada, kalehealth.ca, kale like the vegetable, kalehealth.ca, and that is what I do now for people with these vague symptoms, these blood sugar issues, or they may not even know that it's related to blood sugar, and to really kind of help them figure out what's going on with their body, how to optimize their metabolic process so that they can feel the best.
Wow, that's amazing. And can you share that, because before that, you already eat healthy food, you already like do intense exercise. So what's the small change that can reverse the pre-diabetes part that you did, which have the most impact of your journey?
When it comes to the small change, I want to kind of shift the focus a bit, because people maybe are looking for like one specific hack that I did in terms of what I ate differently, what I did for exercise that's different, all these things. And yeah. I want to kind of talk a little bit about more of the mentality or the mindset shift. Because when I got the diagnosis I was pre-diabetic, I was shocked, surprised, and also felt a bit so disappointed, doubting myself because I thought I was doing everything right. I was already yeah. working as a lifestyle medicine physician. I was also working in Merge, in hospitals, in clinics, you name it. I was doing that. And I thought I had all these training. I did some training with Harvard in School of Medicine, with, of course, Canadian institutions as well. And so I thought, wow, this is so disappointing. Like, what is going on? And so really, that was a mind shift that I had to make for myself, and recognizing that it's not so much that I was doing things wrong because I didn't know enough, because I was kind of inadequate in some ways. It's really kind of about figuring out, okay, well, things aren't working for my body. It's because I'm missing some things. Not getting caught up in the small things that's happening on a daily basis, and kind of giving me an opportunity to listen to my body more. I always tell my clients in my programs, workshops, etc., that your body is the best litmus test. If we think about back in our school days, how we use a litmus paper to test for if a solution is like basic or acidic. I don't know if I'm being too nerdy or people understand what I'm talking about. But
yeah, I know. I understand.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Good, yeah. So I always tell people that your body is your litmus test. It gives you the best, most accurate signal as to what's actually going on inside all these processes you can't see. So pay attention to your body. And so when I was going through that, I started really listening to my body a lot more in terms of the signs I was feeling, the symptoms I was experiencing. And I definitely, of course, use things like continuous glucose monitors, gut health testing, all these things. Those numbers were useful data points to figure out what to do next. They are kind of reinforcing how I was already kind of experiencing. But even without those tools in the moment, just kind of really listen in and tuning in is super helpful. So I guess this is a very long-winded answer, but for me, kind of the one big change that helped me is to kind of listening to my body, have a different mindset, different shift, and focusing in on what to do next rather than kind of self-blame, self-doubt, and the kind of accepting where I am currently and then working from this point on.
So and
that's wonderful to hear. You mentioned, I mean, there's so many things around mindset. And the thing that also got you through what we learned is your diet, the lifestyle change comes with the diet. We're very curious to know, what is it? I guess there's too many pieces of advice, but then what is that one thing that have allowed your practice to cut through the noise, be able to figure out what works for individuals?
Yeah. So when I work with a new client, I always tend to go through this myth-busting phase with them and help to maybe correct some of the misconceptions they're coming in with. You're right. There are tons of noise, lots of misinformation. You can go on social media, you can look at Instagram, Facebook all day and see all these things from different influencers that can be promoting their products, other people's products, but may not necessarily have the training, the background, the expertise to give you the correct information, right? Because their goal is to not necessarily help you, to give you the correct information, but their goal is to sell themselves, their products, to make money, all this stuff. And so it is frustrating for people to go online and be bombarded with all this noise. And so for me, when I was pre-diabetic and trying to figure out what I need to do to reverse my condition, I referred back to the primary literature, the research articles, the study, the clinical trials, randomized controlled trials, all these things, and to look through all the research to create a program that's actually evidence-based and that's actually backed by science. And using things like the continuous glucose monitor, gut health testing was also a very important tools for helping my body to heal. I'm a bit of a science nerd at times. I don't expect everybody to be the same way. So that's why in my programs, I tend to distill all those information in a way that's easy and understandable for you to execute and make it practical too, right? So to basically take what the science supports and make it applicable, practical, and also personalized for you based on your health data. So that way we can cut through all the noise and get you the result that you're looking for.
That's cool. And for your personal experience, when you first start to monitor your glucose index, is there any surprise information, any surprising fact that you found out that I didn't know about that, about my body reaction to this particular food or exercise?
Yeah. So fantastic question. And there were actually many surprises when I first started using the continuous glucose monitor. And so if we think back to a person with prediabetes, it's basically what's happening in their body is that their sugar is not well controlled. They may have a bit more of a blood sugar spike after eating certain things. The insulin hormone, which is the hormone that takes the sugar out of your bloodstream and put it away for storage, that insulin is not working as effectively, right? So there might also be some things like insulin resistance going on in the background. And so when it comes to certain foods back in the day, I would eat things that are just like seemingly healthy things that we would think about, like a big salad that doesn't have a lot of dressing, just mostly green leafy stuff, maybe some healthy like tofu, plant-based protein, and some nuts and seeds, some like healthy spices like turmeric, cumin, all this stuff, some vinegar, soy sauce, like just a nice healthy salad. And then my sugar would go straight up to like 10s, and that was super surprising. And at the same time, I was feeling some lightheadedness and just not well. And so my symptoms correlate with what my sugar readings was telling me, right? And so, and also other examples, eating like certain carbohydrate products, like complex carbs, will kind of cause me to have similar reactions. And so that's not to say that salads are bad, that complex carbs, like carbs, like beans are bad for me. It's kind of giving you a signal that, okay, your body is not functioning as efficiently, as effectively right now. And so these foods, maybe many other foods, are causing you to have these reactions of blood sugar spikes and your symptoms to happen. So let's figure out what we can do to decrease the spikes you're happening, that's happening, so that you can still have the foods that you enjoy. And so nowadays I have the same foods and my blood sugar is fine. I have, you know, even other things, like last night I had pita bread and all this stuff and my sugar was okay. Like, because my body's functioning more efficiently, more effectively, right? So similarly, I had a client who thought, you know, it's fall last year and there's lots of squash. Butternut squash is a fantastic option. I'm going to make butternut squash soup. And when he was eating, or after he ate the soup, he looked at his sugar sensor and it went up to like 13s and 15s. A normal range, he wanted to be between like around 7 to-ish, maybe in the 9s after eating, but his was just like keeps on going up. And so it was super surprising for him. And it's not necessarily saying that butternut squash soup is good, but perhaps how it was prepared, right? Like blending it up breaks it down a lot more. So the sugar molecules are released and it can easily cause your sugar spikes to be higher versus other ways of processing. So, I mean, those are just kind of small things that we can look into once we have the data, once we have the information as to what's going on inside your body from these continuous glucose monitors, et cetera. So it all works together really nicely to figure out what is working for you, what's not working for you, and how we can help your body to heal fast.
Yeah. So I understand that if you experience the blood sugar spike, what comes up must come down, right? So after that, you will experience the blood sugar dip, and which makes you crave for sugar even more. And I myself is experiencing that, like I'm craving for hot chocolate or a snack like all the time. So do you have any advice for people like me to start cutting the sugar crave and stabilize our sugar monitor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, thank you for bringing up the concept of craving, because a lot of the time we feel, oh my gosh, we have cravings for all these things. And once we give in to our cravings, we are quote unquote bad for doing that, or we shouldn't do this, or, you know, we blame ourselves for having the cravings in the first place. So we get into maybe sometimes this not so healthy way of thinking and mindset. And what I want people to kind of take a step back first is to think about, okay, well, cravings, similar to many other things, is a signal that our body's telling us that something is going on, right? So similarly to if you didn't sleep enough hours, you might wake up feeling tired. That's a signal that you're tired, you're fatigued. It's a signal you didn't sleep enough or you didn't get quality sleep. So let's talk about the sleep piece, right? So for the craving piece is you're craving sugary foods. And I was very much the same way when I had blood sugar issues. I craved a lot of like cookies, cakes, like sweet stuff. And especially during like certain times of the month, like before my periods and all these things, have all those symptoms and cravings worsen. So nowadays, I don't want to kind of sound like stereotypical, but the truth is I actually don't have cravings really for these kind of things. I don't crave sweets. I feel actually fantastic without needing any of those things. And if I have a piece of chocolate, I'm like, okay, that's nice. I don't need more, right? So that's because the processes are more aligned in the background. So we don't have those cravings. So if you do have a lot of cravings right now, it's not because, you know, there's something wrong with you, like you're broken, you're weak or anything. It's because we actually need to kind of heal our gut, help to grow more of the good bacteria, help to balance our blood sugar in exchange when through that feedback loop of the good bacteria affecting our insulin, our blood sugar, and then the cravings will just go away, right? So if you have those cravings, it's a good sign, or it's not a good sign, but it is a sign that you need to kind of start paying attention to what's going on and to kind of start looking into some of these things. And it's okay to also, if you want something, to have it, but recognizing that those are short-term fixes, not long-term solutions, right? So if you want to have like some hot chocolate, you can still have some hot chocolate, but maybe do something to counteract the effect of the hot chocolate. Maybe go and do a little bit of a walk around the block, or do some kind of other activity that you enjoy to counteract the blood sugar spike. So you don't end up getting the crashes after, right? There may be other foods that you could eat before having your hot chocolate to prevent the spike from happening as well, right? So there are different strategies to help combat the craving, and you can still have the foods that you enjoy without having the consequences.
Thank you for this enlightening conversation, really. Thank you for taking us through your journey, and that actually allowed you to be more, or actually give me a sense of how compassionate you are with your clients, and the care is really there, and not doing self-blame. The mindset is one thing as well, and just walking them through a more effective and practical solutions. And I love that about this conversation. In closing, I hate that we have to go our closing section. For those who are feeling stuck, because sometimes we get stuck with all these noises and where to look for more practical but yet effective advice and solution, where do we go from here? And also please encourage our listeners with this program. And that can be the answer that we're looking for, feeling stuck.
Feeling stuck, it's very much not uncommon, right? When we're starting out on any health journey or any kind of new behavior that we want to undergo, feeling stuck is actually a sign that we are challenging ourselves, that we're pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, and we're looking for some guidance and some support. And so going back to what I am doing right now with my clients and my programs is really kind of provide people with the structure, the foundation to really take them from feeling stuck to feeling unstuck to feeling like yes. there is a path forward. There is some direction. There is a kind of quote unquote hope, as cheesy as that might sound. And there is support behind that. So coming from somebody who's been there, gone through that journey and really kind of figure out what is the correct or the easiest way to get to a healthier place. I am supporting my clients on a regular basis through their own process, their own journey. And so on my company website, kalehealth.ca, we have right now two offerings. One is the 2-week metabolic reset, where we leverage continuous glucose monitor and one-on-one visits with me to review your data and to get you on the right track. And 2 weeks, it sounds like a short amount of time, but it's actually enough time for you to start building in some new habits, some new routine as well. And it's also enough time for your body to start changing biomechanically in the back end. You can see some results even in just 2 weeks. And then the second one is the gut fix package, where we really dig into the microbiome, the gut health testing piece. We also have personalized one-on-one visits with me to help figure out how to improve your gut health, your digestion, and also help with blood sugar as a component of that as well, so that we can get you metabolically functioning better. And then the third thing that we're doing right now, this is a new program that we're launching this year, is a Performance Nutrition Pro program that is for my athletes out there that wants to really keep their blood sugar and metabolic health in a very optimal narrow range so that they can achieve their performance goals. And that program is open for sign up for a waitlist. If you want to join the waitlist for program launch and get some of the early perks for registration, you can definitely check out the website performancenutritionpro.com.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Chen Yi. So I'm sure that the listener, they have a lot of takeout after listening to the podcast. So to those of you who want to live healthier, control your blood sugar, and just make sure that you go to her website, kalehealth.ca, and look through Dr. Jenny's program. So thank you, Dr. Jenny, for sharing your very personal journey that lead to blood sugar mastery. We would love to have you on our next podcast to share more about your journey, your client's journey, and everything related to gut health in the future.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Please stay tuned for more episodes like this and learn more about not just your gut, but where to start and really take charge of your health moving forward. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.